Data Bytes. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another exciting episode on the Vinodo Data Bytes series. I'm your host, Neha, and I'm thrilled to have you join us today. Let's welcome our guest speaker this week, Saptarshi Sengupta, who's the Senior Director of Product Marketing here at Vinodo. Saptarshi's experience spans over two decades. He has played a vital role in steering Vinodo's customer marketing, content marketing, analyst and press relations, and various aspects of worldwide product marketing. Glad to have you back on the show, Saptarshi. Before we begin our conversation today, can you give us a quick overview about your role at Vinodo and also take us through your experience in the tech space?
Hi, Neha. Good to be back. Really glad to talk about like emerging stuff and new stuff in Vinodo Data Bytes. I'm glad how things are going. I mean, you have kept the momentum for a very long time, kept the ball rolling. So super excited to be on the call. About my background in tech space and Vinodo. So Vinodo, I have been around at Vinodo for the last 7.5 years. As you already mentioned, have touched various aspects of product marketing, customer marketing, and analyst relations, press relations, content marketing, various different things. Very privileged to be in such an environment with very smart people like yourself around me and work with you guys and have this amazing journey that we are seeing with Vinodo. In the tech space, I have been around for right now 18, 19 years. And maybe I'm revealing my age here, and that's okay. Now, in the tech space, I have been in engineering roles, various different engineering roles, like hardware, software. I have been very privileged, again, to kind of spend quite a few years in product management to understand how the market trends and market moves, how product is brought to market, how product traction happens with the market, how people think about product, right? Like market requirement, product requirement. So I have been there, done that. And now in my current role, I can actually put everything together, the engineering thought process and product management thought process along with product marketing thought process. So it's a holistic understanding of product and market fit and product and market requirement that I have been privileged to gain over the years and looking forward to having more fun in the upcoming years.
And thank you for joining us. We are glad to have you back on the show as well. So without further ado, let's dive right in and explore how data virtualization offers a roadmap to enterprise sustainability. So my first question for you is, what is ESG? What are some of the ESG principles that we keep hearing about, and why is it relevant for companies nowadays?
Sure. So I think we all understand that there is a lot happening in terms of how we bring these different products and services to the market, how the world is like innovating on various different things and products and services. And as part of that, while we are moving forward and there is so much innovation around us, it also has some adverse effect. For example, carbon emission is a real thing. Global warming, global climate change is a real thing. I mean, there are both camps, as we both know. Some people do not, there are naysayers and deniers, whereas there are people who know that this is happening and how we can be more concerned about our environment, the society, how we govern everything, like whatever the organization that we are part of. And like it goes all the way to the board and senior level executives. And they are being measured very, very carefully these days about how their stance is in terms of like being environmentally conscious, socially conscious, and governance-wise, right? So that's ESG, environment, social, and governance. And there are kind of certain principles around that, which can vary from region to region. Nationally, there are very localized legislative bodies who are looking after this ESG principles. Now, ESG has become recently very, very predominant and a key focus in Europe. It is slowly spilling over to APAC and North America. Also, people are becoming more and more conscious. But ESG is going to be a proper framework that can help stakeholders understand how an organization manages their risk and opportunities around sustainability issues, right? ESG also has a lot of like movements around health and safety issues. It talks about pollution and pollution reduction. It talks about corporate philanthropy. ESG also takes place in terms of how people are investing, where they're investing, what type of companies they're investing in, how they're doing capital allocation. So people are being very, very conscious about how a company, its board of directors, how its senior management and key executives, how they're producing stuff, productizing stuff, bringing product to market, being socially, environmentally, and governance-wise very responsible. And that's kind of the overall role of ESG.
So diving a little bit deeper into this and steering this conversation more towards the digital and data space, the 2022 IDC survey revealed that a significant portion of IT budgets are being allocated for sustainability-related actions, right? So how are companies leveraging these budgets to drive sustainability initiatives, and what role does data management play in these efforts?
Sure. So ESG, for some people, maybe some folks in our audience, it's sometimes hard to understand how ESG relates to data or data management. But if you kind of look a little closer, you will understand, anybody can understand how companies can be much more greener and healthier and good for environment when they kind of look at these ESG principles, right? So you spoke about this IDC survey recently that was done in 2022, and that's correct. Like, according to that survey, like 44% European organizations, they include sustainability related KPIs when measuring their senior executives' performance, as I mentioned earlier, right? And 35% are of this organization are working to develop a comprehensive view of the environmental impact of their operations. So whatever they are doing, how it is impacting the environment, right? In fact, from a similar or from the same survey, 2022 IDC survey, it says that 90% of the European organizations are spending 10% of their IT budget in sustainability-related actions. So how does sustainability and ESG connect with data management? The reason being, what happens is that people are doing ESG reporting. You are trying to see, let's say you are trying to be greener, you want to see how companies are doing recyclability of their packaging, how they're reducing their overall energy consumption. They're actually trying to make products more energy efficient. That's how they are trying to be more socially and environmentally conscious. To that effect, as you can see, there is a lot of measurement, there is a lot of dashboarding, there is a lot of constant kind of keeping an eye on how you're progressing, how you are being environmentally and socially and governance-wise conscious, and how, what type of steps you are taking, how that is changing your stance of ESG, right? So there is a lot of data and analytics and dashboarding here. For that, data management becomes key. So whatever you are doing, there is measurement that is kept in some place. There is data stored in various different places. And now you're pulling that data, measuring what you need to measure, dashboard that information. And then it's a feedback loop. Okay, I did this, I productized this, and because of that, this is what happened. This is how much carbon emission happened, and this is how we can reduce, or how we can make more energy efficient component production, productization, et cetera, So it has a very, as you can see, very strong correlation with data management. And I think that's why data management, as we think about ESG more and more going into the future, data management will be key for every company that is ESG conscious. Data management has to be their best friend to kind of put together that boundary, that framework around ESG principles. Back to you, Neha.
That's very interesting. Thank you for explaining that, Sapta. So moving forward, can you explain how data virtualization contributes to creating a sustainable roadmap for enterprises?
Sure. So before getting into that, answering that question, just to make sure, because I'm guessing many of our audience members will be clear about what data virtualization is, but just to clarify that for our audience. So we just spoke about how data management is key to enterprise sustainability or like ESG related work. As we think about data management, a big part of it is data integration. So what happens is that for any organization, you take any organization, they have data silos, data sitting in various different repositories. It might be on premises, it might be in the cloud, it may be in, like, within the cloud system or on premises system. I mean, it can be across various different systems, whether it's on premises or cloud, multi-cloud, whatever it is. And at that point, having a single view of this data, so whenever the ESG committee for any organization is looking into the data, trying to dashboard it. If the data is scattered, it's all over the place, it's very hard to get a sense of how you're progressing as a company. Whatever you are trying to do, whatever data and analytics you are trying to do, is this giving you the right information? Are you getting the right information? Are you able to access the data properly? Is it real time? Because many a times, if the data access is not real time, or data management is not real time, it's pretty much stale information. You cannot even use that information. Social media, for example, is one case where if there is some really critical information that you need to scrape from the social media or online, and if it doesn't come to you within the next 5 minutes, that is stale information of no use, right? So going back to data virtualization, so data virtualization is a technique for data integration that kind of brings together the data without copying the data, without replicating the data in a real-time scenario. It basically pulls all the data. That's the data integration method. And then you can access the data, manage the data, or do whatever you need to do with the data, right? Now, data virtualization is really good for sustainability for two reasons. So first of all, the less you copy data, the less you replicate data, you can govern the data well. There are so many compliance issues all over the world, so many issues around PII, personally identifiable information and all. You need to protect that information. So with all those things in mind, the less you replicate data, the less you copy data, it's better. And data virtualization helps you with that. Data virtualization, because it copies less data, you basically have to store more less amount of data, because many of the like traditional integration method, you are copying data, you are creating data marts after data marts, data warehouses after data warehouses, which is again not a sustainable way of doing things, right? And it is not good for your energy consumption, it's not good for your data center. So that's where data virtualization helps. So data virtualization, if you think about it itself as the technology, can reduce carbon footprint, reduce energy consumption, etc. But at the same time, data virtualization also helps companies and executives to gain access to data in real time, the fastest possible way. And that's how they can take some decisions which are real time, faster time to market, faster time to knowledge, faster time to decision. And I think everything combined, data virtualization can easily create this sustainable roadmap for enterprises, or help enterprises to have a sustainable roadmap. Back to you, Neha. Hopefully that made sense.
Definitely did. Thank you, Sapta. So it's interesting to know that data virtualization is not only the faster and easier way, but it's also the greener way ahead. So that's really interesting to know. Organizations looking to enhance their sustainability efforts, what steps can they take in terms of data management and analytics? And how important a role does data virtualization play in this scenario?
Yeah, so when companies think about like data-related challenges, and as we spoke about, like, for ESG purposes, like they take help from data virtualization or sustainable data management, there are certain challenges that you need to think about. And that's where I think implementing a proper data management solution with hopefully a data virtualization in the backdrop helps companies, right? So there are kind of two aspects of these challenges, business challenges and technical challenges. Like if you think about business challenges, whatever steps you are taking as a company, like you have to have, let's say you are trying to make a decision, you have to have management buy-in. There might be skill gaps in terms of like whenever you are like taking on a project, and it's a data and analytics project here we are talking about, do you have the right skills to put together that kind of data and analytics platform and infrastructure, right? Is your management okay with that type of steps and that type of infrastructure and what you are trying to do with that data analytics, right? Are you able to identify the appropriate and valuable KPIs to showcase that you are following the right ESG principles, right? And from technical technology standpoint, as I said, like you can have issues like in terms of legacy data analytics methods and data management methods where you are replicating data, you are kind of polluting your data environment, you have vendor lock-in issues, you have some disconnect between IT and operational technology. And this is very important for manufacturing supply chain industry specifically. So IT and OT needs to look eye to eye and have a good alignment between them. If there are non-digital parameterized, like administration or operational processes, that's not good. And then monitoring this ongoing progress and tracking improvements, et cetera, and have a full feedback loop that we spoke about earlier. All these things are very, very important, right? And if there is no clear data management foundation, or if you are not very thoughtful about your data infrastructure and data analytics, how your data analytics is moving forward. For example, I'll give you a couple of examples here. There is this concept of data mesh and data fabric. A data fabric, mainly if you implement with data virtualization, it helps you with your end-to-end enterprise data management. It gives everybody within a company easy access and controlled access to data, right? So people who are supposed to get access to whatever data, they will get that kind of access control, right? And at the same time, they will be now empowered in a self-service way to make better decisions, faster decisions. At the same time, there is this concept of data mesh, where people and different business units that in data mesh world, it's called domain, they can actually create data products. So now you're not only creating your own company's product, whether you are in manufacturing, retail, or whatever business, data products is basically now another product that helps different business units to make different decisions. And then they share this data product knowledge with other departments. They can govern the data locally within their business unit or domain. And now all the domains can come together with the central IT team and governance team, so the security team, to kind of have a federated governance put in place. So what I'm trying to tell you with that is that with this, if you are thoughtful about your data management, the data infrastructure, if you can put together this concept of logical data management, if you can put together a concept of the data fabric and data mesh in the right possible way, you can manage your enterprise data in a very thoughtful way. And that will actually help your sustainability-related issues. It will help you make the right decision. It will empower your people. It will make things self-serviceable. It will govern the overall data better. And as a company, will thrive. And as a company, will be able to better align yourself with all your ESG initiative and do better ESG reporting. And be thoughtful about a sustainable future.
Thank you so much. Diving in towards the benefits aspect a bit more, what are some of the benefits of effective data management and integration for improved sustainability, in your opinion?
Sure. It's a lot of things. I mean, how effective data management, as I said, like a thoughtful, effective data management and integration approach can help in enterprise sustainability. I would like to highlight on a few things, and that might give our audience a sense of how that can help. For example, if you have a proper data management in place, you reduce overall friction. Basically, if there are data is siloed, different business units are taking different decisions. For example, we have a customer who has operations across Australia and EMEA, certain parts of EMEA and North America, and they have like their energy and mining part of the business who are taking business decisions which are overlapping. And if you are not kind of aligned with each other, there can be conflicts. There can be data friction. Who is using what type of data? Is there a very good alignment between, I spoke about like IT and operational technology, OT, and in mainly in manufacturing industries, it can be more prominent. So reduction of data friction is a pretty big thing and big benefit of doing effective data management. Another piece is like if you can implement something like a data catalog. So this is something we have been lately talking a lot more about, like having a proper data management infrastructure in place also needs a proper data cataloging, because that way, think about Google, like how people search for information in Google through a data catalog. You can do data search and data access very easily at an enterprise context. So that way, as I was talking about empowering people, making it more self-serviceable, people can make independent decisions very fast and share that information with others within their company. Those type of things are kind of doable and becomes possible with the proper data infrastructure and effective data management in place, right? I also spoke earlier about the governance piece of it. So if you can have the proper governance policies and controls incorporated, and then put some proper data quality rules in place, have a business glossary with some sort of common terms. We lately keep talking about semantics, business semantics and semantics. So basically, everybody kind of talks the same language. Nobody needs to know the technology jargons or SQL and stuff like that. People can talk in terms of business terms that are meaningful to every other business unit or every other person. So that also kind of help in terms of like data and analytics. We spoke about like speed to or time to insight, speeding up the time to insight so that the decision makers, the critical decision makers can make faster decision, get to faster conclusion. And then again, like we spoke about less data copying, low code, no code environment. That helps users tremendously, organizations rather, tremendously in terms of like governance and compliance and again, carbon footprint reduction, energy reduction, energy usage reduction, et cetera, et cetera. So long story short is that if you have given a proper thought to effective data management, how your infrastructure or data infrastructure look like, if you can put together that whole concept of a logical data management infrastructure with a data fabric, data mesh type of an environment where your people, process, data analytics, everything is well thought through and organized, I think that actually helps tremendously in terms of you as a company and also kind of to follow the ESG rules, ESG principles, and kind of help in having a greener and better environment across the organization and around you. Back to you, Neha.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Sapta. So I think like effective data management is definitely the key towards planning a more sustainable roadmap then. Mm-hmm. I know you've covered a little bit of this in my previous question. You gave an example, but could you provide some other example if you have any that you can think of innovative sustainability initiatives that have been successfully planned and implemented with the help of data analytics? And how does Denodo help in such scenarios?
Yes, sure, for sure. So we have multiple different such examples. I can take a couple of names, but then I want to kind of delve into one of the examples that's one of my favorites. So we have, I cannot name this company, but we have a private customer who are in a car manufacturing business, one of the best in the world. They have a sustainable energy grid. They are creating and there they are basically having a feedback loop about how sustainable that energy grid is, how the energy production is, how the energy is distributed, and how that helps their manufacturing process and all. So that has been a very, very interesting use cases. Lately, I have been taking interest in reading more about that customer and how they're using Denodo data virtualization but Denodo's data management. But then I would like to talk about Festo. Festo is one of the world's leading suppliers of automation technology and technical education based out of Dach, Germany region. And they have been in business for like decades now. So before adopting this whole logical data management or data virtualization concept, they had issues of like all the component manufacturing, their production floor and all, everything was consuming a lot of power. And they were not able to kind of reduce that power, low power manufacturing and all. And their business users were also not very self-sufficient. So for reporting analytics and all, they were very IT dependent. And as I spoke about it, so that dependency, basically IT ends up making replicas of data and they're making static reports for these business users and all. And these things are absolutely opposite of what sustainability is all about, right? So as a solution, what they created, Festo created a big data framework so that they can create something called a data marketplace. Think about Amazon. So where when you and I do shopping on Amazon, we go look for products and services. And when we try to search for a product, it gives us suggestions of other products and other services. And then we make a purchase, we easily find information we even share with our family and friends, right? Think about that data marketplace from an enterprise context. So that's what they did with Denodo. They actually had numerous on-premises and cloud data sources and streaming data and all, and machine data. Like, as I said, it is all about their like kind of machines and the production floor and all. So they wanted to have a single view of all their data scattered all around and try to see how their production is working, how much energy is being consumed during productization of those components and electrical components we are talking about. And they wanted to feedback that thing with this big data framework that they provided or they put together along with Denodo platform as the like key central piece. And with that, they created a logical data management layer through which they can do proper data marketplace creation with a proper governance and access control, so that everybody, like whether it's business analyst or data scientist or developers or whoever it is, their multiple departments are now interacting with this data marketplace. They can go and search for data, whatever they need. They can make a particular decision, so it's self-serviceable. On the other hand, as I said, like this particular big data framework that created a feedback mechanism through which they can actually feedback how much power has been using by different machines, different part creation and all, and how that overall power consumption can be brought down. They actually call this whole manufacturing process Industry 4.0. So this is where like the whole concept of low power manufacturing process comes into picture. And with that, they actually, once they created that data marketplaces with Denodo, they made everything very self-serviceable, very sustainable, very energy efficient. And I mean, they're looking to do a lot more. I mean, of course, we also spoke about the governance piece of it, how they govern their data, how they're sticking to different like environmental policies and data governance policies, compliance policies in the local compliance policies or even global compliance policies and all. And now they're able to kind of very clearly visualize through dashboards and all the energy KPIs that enable shop floor teams to gain instant visibility. They are engaged in active monitoring, and they finally are driving energy saving efficiencies. So with all these things in place, these guys have shown how to kind of make ESG a priority and align themselves as a company who is kind of very efficient in terms of kind of sticking to the ESG policies with the proper data management framework in place.
This was a great discussion on data virtualization in the context of enterprise sustainability. And before we wrap up this session, I have a quick Q&A round for you, just like last time. Are you ready?
Sure. Why not?
Perfect. So my first question for you is, what is the story behind how you got started in the product marketing space? Like, I know you've had your background in tech, but how did you eventually move towards product marketing?
Sure. So for me, it was very, I don't know whether I should say clear or easy decision, but a decision I had to make. My background was in semiconductor first and then system hardware. I worked for companies like Intel and Broadcom and Cisco. And I don't know, I mean, I was always itching about moving to software industry. And I, as I said, I was doing product management in hardware industry. I was having fun, but I also wanted to kind of see how the software industry works. And as you know, like, Mark Andreessen from Andreessen Horowitz, once he famously said that software is eating the world. We know that that's actually happening. There's a lot of innovation happening in software. So marketing, like doing product marketing, was one of the best way to kind of move from hardware to software. I was not 100% sure, to be honest, like how the move from hardware to software will happen, and mostly from product management. I was having a lot of fun in product management. How will I like product marketing? But once I made the switch, this is like what, 8.5-9 years now, it's been a blast. Like I now have a good amount of knowledge of semiconductor and system hardware and hardware industry. At the same time, I have gained a lot of knowledge Being in my previous company and at Denodo about software industry, cloud, there's a lot going on, AI, generative AI and all. So long story short, I know it's supposed to be a rapid round, Neha, but that's how I switched to software and marketing and having a blast in software marketing.
Sounds great. Sounds like great fun. Thank you, Sapta. And my last question for the day is, tell us about a memorable aha moment in your career. Like, what did you learn from it?
Let's talk about like how that aha moment was from product management to product marketing. When I was doing product management for two companies, LSI Corporation and Cisco, the product marketing there is very, very different. So you basically have a handful of companies that you sell to. These are all B2B. We are all also at Denodo a B2B business. But in LSI and Cisco type of companies, you basically, as a vendor, have a few customers and you basically sell your parts to them. And the marketing aspect of things is very, very different. You are just creating a few data sheets to sell that product and talking to the stakeholder in your customer companies on an ongoing basis. You are doing a bunch of like pricing discussion and volume discussions and all. Beyond that, I haven't seen a lot of like those amazing flavor of product marketing that I see at Denodo. Now that I have switched to this type of software B2B product marketing, this whole idea of the concept of the marketing and the sales cycle, this top of funnel, how to move your audience from top of funnel to bottom of funnel, how to excite them with the information that you have as a marketer, and then kind of move them through the sales cycle, kind of help them learn about your product and services. This whole thing about product marketing in the software industry and in this kind of business is absolutely different from what I was doing earlier. While I was a product manager, I also used to wear the product marketing hat, but that was absolutely the aha moment. I mean, as I said, once I switched to this software product marketing 8 years back, there has never been a moment of lull or it has been very, very exciting.
That's great to know, Sapta. So there's definitely no going back then.
No going back. Sure.
Perfect. Thanks so much. This was a wonderful episode, Sapta. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Very nice talking to you as always, Neha.
And a quick message to our listeners. If you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to www.denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on all things data.